for myself, or forgive myself for my life. He died for us. He gave all of himself to God. Every ounce of himself. He wasn't even thinking about himself. So the Lord started speaking to me. He was the Jesus. He was the God. He started to serve and understand what my life's needs were. And once I started to understand your needs, and I understand what my brother is like, understand how I can meet those needs. So I would do certain things. I surprise her bringing flowers. I surprise her with little notes in her. I surprise her by cleaning up everything. Don't leave a mess in myself. That's something I do. I do purposefully. I do something like that. I told you to do that because I don't believe that. So he said, yeah? She said, yeah, that's what I would do. So he went home, he was trying to straighten her up, and he did what the guy told her. He went off to work in the morning, feeling all good. He'd come home, the furniture was gone, everything was gone, she was gone. He'd come running down under the tree, the guy was coming. She said, man, you're crazy, you're causing trouble. My wife left me, she took everything. He said, I caused you trouble. He said, yeah, you caused me trouble. You told me to straighten her up and do this. I said, if that was my wife, that would be back. You gotta know your wife. You see, I don't encourage that thing. What is Jesus' needs? What does he want from us? Are you satisfied with your relationship? What is it? You're not gonna be there like a month and shut yourself in, isolate yourself. But what does he want from you?
Religion is a covering. It's not going to do anything for you. Religion doesn't bring faith. Knowledge does not bring revelation. God gives revelation. But it's that relationship that brings revelation. My relationship with my wife. Sometimes I'll be thinking about her and everything else, and right away I'll go to call her, I'll pick up the phone, and she'll be calling me. That's the relationship. That's the deep calling to the deep. So what are we doing every day? What's our relationship? We need to stir our hearts. It's not about Brother Branham. Brother Branham demonstrated that. Brother Branham, in the message, The Bruised Serpent, they've titled it differently. They were baptizing in his name.
Sorry. In the message, Bruised Serpent, they were baptizing him in Brother Branham's name. Some people were saying he was Jesus Christ. Brother Branham rebuked him. He said, don't you ever do that, or I'm going off the field. And then after, when he was talking, he said, you know, saints, he said, I've tried to live too close to the Lord. That's why they're so much supernatural. That's a prophet. He was ordained a prophet. Couldn't he just sit back and relax? Do you think when he did the seals, when the seals were revealed to Brother Branham and he expressed the seals, he just was out casually every day just going for a Sunday and going to McDonald's, and he shut himself in. He spent time prayer and fasting. I'm not saying prayer and fasting is what God requires, but it's an atmosphere you create for the Holy Ghost to come. Husband and wife don't have physical relations everywhere. It's inside the bedroom. It's behind closed doors. What is your relationship with God? Where do you shut in with Him? Where do you commune with Him? You can be communing with Him even as you're walking. I know at work, I'm talking to the Lord. And I know you saints are too. But more and more and more of Him. I'm laying tile in the bathroom. I'm saying, Lord, give me the wisdom of the guys that built the temple so I can lay this herringbone tile. And He does. Saints, when I look at the things that God allows me to do, it's because of Him and I'm trusting in Him. What relationship? That relationship is going to give us the faith to stand when we're challenged. You can quote a scripture like the sons of Sceva, but if there's no life, there's no relationship behind it. God doesn't have to honor that. This is a time when there's a shaking going on. Where do you stand? Where are we standing? Are we standing on a relationship? Are we standing on the dead letter? Are we standing on somebody else's experience? Are we standing on our experience? Try me and prove me and see that I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Try me. Who? You. As individuals. Try me. When he's talking about tithing, but it's about everything. You have to. You cannot trust anything. I know relationships in my relationship with my wife, but what I've tried and tested. My wife turns to me. She says, why do you lock the car when I'm walking right in front of it and the horn beeps? Because it scares her. Right? So maybe I make this mistake again and she looks at me. But I'm consciously not doing it. Now I just don't do it. I wait. It's because of respect for her. I'm talking about our relationship with the Lord. You see, the things that the Bible are written, this is all natural. But it applies to the spiritual dimension. A husband and a wife, a bride and a bridegroom. It's not mysterious. This letter is dead until it's quickened by the word. You are the book of Acts. You are the word. When you speak, you can move mountains. It's not quoting scripture. It's the authority that you have. But you cannot use any authority you don't believe you have. He said, tarry ye. They told him, tarry ye in Jerusalem. Till you're endued with from power on high. Power to serve. So you could be born again. A revelation of the word, but where is the power behind the word? The power doesn't come without a relationship. I'm lacking too. We're all lacking. It's a commitment. It's a sacrifice. But it's got to be a sacrifice we love to do. We love to serve. The relationships that we have today can only flourish and blossom if we invest in them. There was a man and a wife, they went to a marriage counselor and they were about to get a divorce. And the marriage counselor, he unbiased and he sitting there listening to him. And he looks at the man and he says, do you ever tell your wife you love her? He goes, I'll have you know, I told her I love her when I married her and it stands till I take it back. Can you imagine that? Saying I love you once to your wife and never saying it again? When we come in here and worship, you are worshiping the Lord. You're entering into His presence with thanksgiving and praise. It's not songs. It's got to come from your heart. You know, it's a romance. Solomon. The Songs of Solomon. It's a romance. The world has made romance evil in the way that they've done it. But it's pure because it's between you and the Lord. There's nothing defiled about it. And we you know, just to think about your relationships that you have. And I just want to meditate, the saints to meditate on that thought, that it is, you know, what are you experiencing with the Lord? What are you experiencing every day? Do you trust him? Do you trust your husband? Is he a provider? Does he provide your needs? And even if you're not married, you're thinking about that relationship. God reveals those things to us as individuals, right?
So
it's just your relationship, even with a friend, a dear friend, that you can trust to draw closer to him. And the more you invest in, the more someone trusts in you, the more pleasure they get out of your relationship, because they're relaxed. They're not tense. They're not nervous. Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost is a dove. He's gentle. He's quiet. He's not brash. He's not bold. He doesn't go where he's not invited. What do you do every day to foster that relationship? What are you thinking about? These are questions I just want to ask. I just want to stir your mind up to think on these things. And forgive me if it's all chopped up and everything else, because it seems like, you know, I have this on my heart. And I asked Brother James if he would fill in, and he said, not tonight. So I said, okay. But I just see in my own relationship, and I know how much I invest in it and how much I desire. What is your real desire? Do you think you're going to be here forever? Really? It's quiet. Do you ponder what life has for you? Is this all there is? All the sorrow, the sickness and pain? What is this gospel done for you? What is it doing in your life? What change has it done? That's all your testimony. The peace that God gives you, the joy that Christ gives you, the revelation he gives you, the comfort he gives you. When you pray about things and you see it manifest, and those are all things that build our relationship with the Lord. And I just think about Pastor Elijah when he said Eliezer and Rebecca. All the things that she was wondering about Isaac when she was coming. And he was telling it to her. Right? And that's like the Holy Spirit now. That's Christ revealing to us what God has for us, and the grace he has for us, and the love, and what he's prepared for us. Has the word become alive to you? Or is it you're just trying to escape hell? You're just trying to come to church. So every time you come to church, you mark it on your calendar. I've been, Lord. Look, I went to church. Or you're going to go to heaven and you're going to enter in the gates. And it's not because of love and grace. It's because you're going to write an exam, a final exam. How are you going to do? It's not knowledge. This is a knowledge age, but it's not knowledge. It's based on your relationship. You have to touch the hem of his garment. We have to enter into his presence. We have to invest in him. You can never receive dividends if you don't invest in anything. You can leave your money in your pillow, under your pillow, or under a rock, and you'll never increase it. Actually, it'll devalue, because inflation will eat it away. And that's the same as a relationship. If you're not moving forward in your relationship, you're not standing still. You're moving backwards. You're losing ground. I say to the Lord, Lord, Father, I want this word to be so sweet in my heart that I just want to read it and the words to leap off the page into my soul, and it to be my necessary food. This is his way, God's way of communicating to us through the word, through revelation. So if we don't read the word, how are we going to know? How are we going to communicate to him? How is he going to communicate to us? Right? And was just, you know, listening to those messages with Brother Branham, just the grace that he had and the beauty he had. Brother Branham in relationships, I was listening to a testimony Brother Perry Green testified, and he said Brother Branham had such a selfless spirit. That wasn't Brother Branham. That was the Holy Ghost. He went on a hunting trip. He'd go on a hunting trip with Brother Branham, and they'd have a dartboard, and all the brothers there. You know, us brothers, we're very competitive. Everybody wants to win. Nobody wants to lose. And they set a dartboard up in a tent. And the brothers would go and play darts. Brother Branham wouldn't play. And when he did play, he said he'd play with Brother Green. And Brother Green would throw a dart, and it would hit on the outside circle. And if you know darts, if you hit the bullseye, you win, right? Brother Perry would hit the outside circle. Brother Branham would hit off the dartboard. Brother Perry would hit two circles in. Brother Branham would hit three circles out. He'd always lose. And he's wondering, what's going on? I'm not that good of a dart player. And one time he snuck up while Brother Branham was there shooting darts, and he threw three darts in a row, bullseye. He said to him, Brother Branham, why do you do that? Why do you let me win? He says, oh, Brother Perry. He says, I know you enjoy winning, and I'd rather you receive the joy. He told him one time he went hunting. He'd go hunting with Brother Branham. He said, Brother Branham, how many bullets do you take? He said, three bullets. He said, three bullets? Brother Perry said, I take a box of shells. I'm talking about that spirit of service. This spirit of service goes into a marriage too. It goes into every relationship. It goes into our relationship with the Lord. Do you want to preserve your life? Do you want to keep your life? He that gains this life loses that eternal life. What's our relationship with the Lord? So Brother Branham said to him, yeah, Brother Perry. He says, I'm going to use these two bullets to sight my gun and one bullet to kill my game. And when the brothers were sighting their guns in, they would shoot like 5, 10, 15, 15. Brother Branham would not shoot until everybody shot. And then he'd get up and shoot. He didn't do it because he didn't want to make anybody feel bad. He'd shoot two bullets right dead, one like drive an attack, one behind the other. You see, he really wanted to give. He really wanted to exalt the next person. He really wanted to be a servant. In the 50s, when he started his healing ministry, 8 days and nights, he stayed in the pulpit. He took his meals, he slept, and he prayed for every one of those people. 8 days and nights in the pulpit. 8 days and nights in the pulpit. That's not William Branham the man. That's the Holy Ghost. That's what the Holy Ghost, when he comes into our hearts, starts to drive out all that selfishness. You got to remember what it is Satan says, I am like the Most High God. I shall be exalted. We worship this flesh. And in our relationships, naturally, that selfish spirit drives people apart. It's a division. It's a spirit of division. It's a spirit, it's a cancer. But we can't do it naturally. It's when Christ comes in and lives within our being and he just takes away all that self away. Just to live for him, to love him, to worship him, to praise him. Right? Even Paul talks about, you know, his evolution of being a servant. And then he evolves to being a prisoner of Christ, a prisoner of his love. To be such a prisoner of somebody's love that every action, everything you do, every thought you have is dictated how you're going to please that individual. Do we come up short? I come up short. I just see that a lot of things that are happening in the world today is a selfish, self-serving spirit. And it's the lack of Christ. It's the lack of the Holy Ghost. You can have so much Bible knowledge. You can understand the kingdom. You can have someone preach here and you could know everything that's written down here. But if you don't have that relationship, forget about it. You're going to miss the word. Same as the Pharisees and Sadducees. They could roll the scrolls up and stick a pin through it and tell you every letter it pierced. Because they analyzed it. They wrote it down. They didn't know the exact location. Yet when the word was made flesh, they missed it. This is not a natural word. This is a supernatural word. This is based on a relationship. This is an impregnation of the living God within our souls. Right? And it is by grace. There's nothing we can merit. But what do you want that relationship? When you're chosen, what do you want to do? Do you want to prepare? The bride has made herself ready. Can you imagine somebody proposing to the bride and it comes the wedding day and she doesn't have her veil? She doesn't have her dress? She doesn't have anything prepared? How are we preparing? We're so busy working. We're so busy toiling. We're so busy with his life. Where's the time for the Lord? Are you satisfied? I'm not. I'm not satisfied. And I'm pressing in, and I know you are too. But as you press in, God will meet you there. He starts to speak through the word to your soul. When we come in here to church, God is speaking our thoughts. He vindicates the word. That gives you courage. When you're speaking to somebody, you know he's right there. That's a relationship that you're developing with them. Where you can become so bold and tell somebody, when we go, you testify to somebody, you tell them, when we go to church, what we're talking about, the Lord is going to speak. And they walk in here, they know that something different has happened. Because he's a present tense God. If we don't see a movement in our lives, what are we doing it for? Religion was good for the forefathers and everything else like this. This is not, church is not a relationship. A home can be where a marriage is, but a home does not make the marriage. It's those two people communing make that marriage. It's those two people getting to know one another, getting to be intimate, getting to understand, getting to serve, getting to sacrifice. So it's time we just, for me, I just say, Lord, I just keep looking at my situation and everything else, and I say, Father, what if everything crashes and everything is gone? Do I know I can trust in you? Do I know that you're my everything, that you'll be my peace giver? You'll be my strength? That I'm not trusting on all this stuff that can be taken away? You know, I just see my dad, 84 years old, went in for a hip operation, and it went really well. He was out of the hospital. Then he suffered one stroke. We prayed for him. Lord came and delivered him. He had a second stroke. He really improved from that one. We prayed again. But I just say, Lord, just help my dad to know you in the power of your resurrection, to hear your voice. That's the greatest thing for me. And I know the Lord is going to do it because he's faithful. I'm trusting him. And I just want to thank the Lord, and even for just to see him moving in our midst. And we're just going to have some prayer tonight, too. I'm sorry I'm kind of cut up, and forgive me. But is there any prayer requests that we have we're going to pray for tonight? Anybody have any prayer requests? Sister Ann. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Praise God. That's good. That's a blessing. I just want to pray for our relationship with the Lord. I don't know, saints. I just want to see such a stirring of the Holy Ghost in our midst. I feel like getting rid of all these chairs and everybody just standing or sitting on sawdust and everything else and getting rid of all the form that we have. Right? You are the church, as Pastor Elijah said. Ecclesia means called out. You are the church. You are the building. What temple hast thou prepared? But a body. Christ was that body, but you are that body. It's the living God dwelling within you, communing with you, speaking, moving through you. Speak in the word. Have you been exercising your authority? Have you been speaking the word? Have you? I'm asking you a question. Are you afraid to? I'm on the job there at DeFasco, and I'm saying, I'm leaning over a railing. It's terribly hot and everything else. I had a sensor in the bottom of a large hydraulic cylinder for a damper that I had to screw in there, and this thing was 3 1.25 inch diameter thread. I'm leaning over this thing. There's a guy beside me. There's hydraulic fluid pouring all over the place. I couldn't get that thing in there. No way. Wasn't going in. Trying. Then I just prayed. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me do this. You're going to have to make this thing go in here. I lean over, went right in. Because I just had said to the guy, I can't get this thing in there. And he looks at me, he says, what'd you do? I told him, I just prayed. He said, what? You got to trust him. I remember laying under a scale, and it's dirty and dark and everything else, and there was a big bolt that come loose, and we were doing scale work, and it's dusty and everything else, couldn't see. And I'm just laying under there, and I said, this is crazy. I'm at the end of myself. I said, Lord, you got to help me. Same thing. Happened again. He wants you to ask, and you shall receive. If you don't exercise that part of the word, you'll never be able to trust it. This word is dead until you bring it to life. You can have seed in a test tube, and it cannot do anything unless it gets in a womb. This is seed. Get it in the womb and speak it. Bring it forth. Start experimenting with the word of God. Start using it. Start demonstrating it. Because it just lays here dormant. Christ wants to be manifest through us. That was Brother Branham's greatest desire. People exalt him and worship him, and he never desired that. He would always say to people, oh, if you have faith, you don't need to come up here in that prayer line. You don't need me to lay hands on you. You can receive your healing right there. He would say, you pastors, go and lay hands on those people. He would make a point of telling some sisters that went to a hospital and prayed for a lady, she was raised up. It's not a one-man ministry. It's not a one-woman ministry. You are the ministry of Jesus Christ. But that's based on your relationship with him. You can't be the sons of Siva. Go and try and cast out devils. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. But who art thou? Because it'll just erode your, it just works negatively on you. So let's stir our hearts, and the word is coming so wonderfully, and just continue to pray for the ministry, and this church is not dead, it's alive. And for a church to be live, it needs growth. And I'm not talking about recycled believers. I'm talking about babies. New babies that have an experience in Christ. That's what you want to see. People not coming to join a church, but come because they're thirsting and they hear God's voice when they come into the presence of God. There's nothing going to move them. Nothing's going to move them. I think about my relationship with the Lord when we came in. I'm thinking, what anchored me? It wasn't the preacher. It was the word in my soul, that thirst for God that was being met. Right? So I'd like to say that we can't serve God because he's going to send us to hell. We have to serve him because we love him. And then how do you love him? Right? Like, I can only explain or say certain things up here, but what do you... You have to take it to your own natural. You have to break it down to your own life. Okay, some brothers would come, I'll use this example. Some brothers would come and say, oh, brother, I bought this thing. It's wonderful, this pill and stuff. I take it and it makes me feel so much energy. I say, yeah. I say, well, everybody's body is different. We assimilate it differently. I take it. It doesn't do nothing for me. I just lose $50. How is the word being assimilated? How is it being manifested in your life? I might not be able to express it, but think about relationships. Think about your relationship with God. Right? Are you satisfied? I'm not. I want so much more of him, saints. I just want to die so that someone can live. I want to see him speak to somebody. I want to be the spectator. Where I'm standing there and God is discerning someone's heart and speaking the word to them. their eyes start to light up because you're saying something. You don't even know what you're saying. Thank God you don't. You're the only Jesus people will see. But that's based on your relationship, that indwelling, that confidence that you have in him, letting him out of the box. Don't keep him in. Let him out. He wants to live again through us. When he was going into Jerusalem, the people said, don't praise him, don't praise him. He said, if they keep their mouths shut, the rocks would cry out to him. We have rocks crying out to him. We're in the message of the hour, and we have people that are in systems and natural people that are using the word in a supernatural way. It's just like Brother James said, we walk in so much condemnation that God does not want to honor that. We're his sons and daughters. He by grace saved us. It's his blood that was shed for us. Just receive it, accept it, and let the work be lived through you. Can you imagine getting married and every day challenging whether you're married or not? But God gives you a ring on your finger. It's eternal. There is no beginning, no end. Once it's on there, that commitment is forever. You're married. And that's what Calvary did. That's what your acceptance of his word did. He sealed it. Once you accept it, you're on your journey. You have a relationship with the Almighty God. Now enjoy it. Investigate it. Dig into it. Thirst for it. There's such a lack of a spirit today, of a servant spirit. You go to the restaurant, and they don't know how to serve. They're not like the old days where they would teach them to serve, to be true servants. They're just there for the money. They're not there to be servants. They're not true servants. Some people just aren't servants. But let's learn to be a servant through the Holy Ghost revealing himself through us. Just dying out and meditating on the word and just seeing Christ in us, right? I just thank the Lord for his grace and his goodness. So I just say, are you serving God just because you're going to escape hell? Why are you serving him? Are you just fearful of death? Christ came to set those free that were, Romans says, all their life in bondage to death. What is your purpose for serving the Lord? What are you going to get out of it? Or it's just because you love him. He's righteous. He's good. You just want to know more about him. You know that. I don't know that. But I challenge you today to investigate your relationship with the Lord. Seek a deeper walk, a commitment, a consecration. Challenge him. He loves to be challenged. Sister Donna testified she's looking for the will of God, and she walks into the home where her mom's going to be, and there was a seals book there. A seven seals book sitting on the woman that's taken. She's a nurse there or something? She's a property manager in her office. The seals book right there. Where would you find a seals book? So these are signs we're starting to look at God moving in our life. Don't take these things lightly. You can be superstitious, right? But Gideon, he looked for a sign to give himself courage and confidence and know he's going in the right step. But we got to stand on those signs that God gives us and use them as authority. When we came for our immigration, man, I was the most nervous wreck you could ever think of. And Sharon had to get her her spousal visa. And I was so nervous about it. I had gotten mine. And I was worried about bringing stuff over and all this because it was a temporary visa. It wasn't a permanent. I wasn't supposed to be coming permanent, right? And Sharon just goes to me Wednesday night, let's go to the border now. I said, okay, let's go. And we were wondering if we could bring our furniture and everything across. And we get in there. We took our marriage certificate and everything else. And we get in there. You know those customs people, they can be pretty nasty. Hey, they look some of the meanest people you ever did see, those guys, man. You're shaking in your boots even before you get up there. We walk up there, and the guy looks at us. He says, do you want to see our marriage certificate? He says, nah, I can see you guys are married. then he says, Sharon says, ask him. I said, what about furniture and that? Ah, he says, don't worry about it. He says, take all your furniture. Your kids can go to school. Your wife can get a job and everything else like that. It was like the perfect guy to answer these questions. He was like a puppy dog. You know, you just, God just has his way of showing you he's there. But me, I'm so thick-headed, I'm still nervous. Right? I don't want to be nervous anymore. When God shows me something, I want to trust in it and go with courage and boldness. I don't want to have to keep him keep showing me. I don't want him to be Gideon. Okay, now it's let the dew be under the fleece. Now it be over the fleece. Now it be this. Now it be that. Now it be this. Now it be that. Well, come on. Can you imagine your wife doing that to you? Or your husband doing that to you? Well, honey, I need you to prove this. Do you really love me? Do this. If do you really love me? Do this. Do you really love me? Do this. Come on, let's stop playing games. I love you. Right? But you have to know that. You have to have that confidence in the Lord. Right? Just, saints, it's just so much in my heart just to, I just want to see the power and the presence of God. And it is here. Don't get me wrong. It is here. But we have to have eyes to see. So open your eyes, hear the voice of God. Right? God bless you, saints. I just appreciate it. We're going to sing a couple of hymns. And does anybody have any other prayer requests or anything that they would like to pray for? Any prayer requests? Okay. I just appreciate you. I appreciate this ministry. I appreciate Pastor Elijah. I just know that every time we would come down from Canada, and it wasn't, you know, we'd be fellowshipping in the car. We'd come in here and he'd be speaking what we'd be fellowshipping. I mean, there's so much you can talk about. And it happened every time. Is God being alive in the ministry to you? If it's not, if he's not, then what are you doing about it? Are you meditating on it? Are you praying about it? Are you saying, Lord, speak to my heart. I want his thoughts, my thoughts to be his thoughts. Consume me, Lord. And that's just my desire. And I don't know, saints, it's just bottled up in me. And I just pray the Lord would just be able to. I just want to see souls get saved. And just people to come to know the Lord like I know him. Just to have that peace that only he can give. And just to take away every fear and every doubt. You know, as a little boy, my grandfather, I loved him so much. And he's such a gentle man. And I remember laying in bed after we buried him, and I saw him in the casket just laying there. And I was thinking, I was about 11 years old, just laying in bed and thinking, where is he going? What's happening? It confused me. It scared me. I was terrified. But now I have the answer. I got the answer. I got a heavenly home. And he's proving it now. So I have the faith to believe for that. The devil will try to bring it back now and again. I tell him, no, Satan, you can't do that. You can try, but I got a heavenly home. And it's based on what Christ has done in me and what he's doing. Now in our midst, seeing his presence, seeing his grace, seeing his love, hearing his voice, right? We might not understand everything that's taking place, but we don't need to understand. We just need to trust and believe, right? Because we won't understand everything. Because understanding doesn't bring you into his presence. It's trusting brings you into his presence.
Consume me, Lord, with the fire of your spirit.
Depths of your heart.
consume me, Lord, with the fire of your Spirit. Consume me, Lord, and make me more like you. Break me, Lord, and bless the broken pieces of my life. Let me be you.
Once again.
Consume me, Lord, with the fire of your Spirit. Consume me, Lord, and make me more like you. Break me, Lord, and bless the broken pieces of my life. Let me be you, oh Lord, by you.
Let me be you.
Oh, let me be you, oh Lord, by you.
Oh Lord Jesus, that's our desire, Father, is just to be used by you, Lord God, to see your life flowing through us, Father, to be surrendered, Lord. I just want to be so pleasing unto you, Father, just to, just to worship you and praise you, Father. Every stickiness, Father, every hindrance, Father, every fear and every doubt, Lord, just take them away, Lord. Just prove yourself to your children, Lord. And they so much want to hear your voice, Lord. Become that familiar voice, Lord Jesus, that they hear, Lord, and they know it's you, Lord, speaking softly, Lord. That still, small voice, Lord. Just minister to the needs, Lord. Bless your children, Father. Touch them in a special way, Father. Lord, though these thoughts were broken up and ill-prepared, forgive me, Lord. But you know my desire, Father. It's just to see you moving more in our midst, Lord. That's the greatest desire, Father, is that each and every one of us will come here and walk every day, Lord, just rejoicing so much, Lord, that your presence and your grace, Lord, let a revival strike our hearts, Father, that nothing will be able to quench it, Lord Jesus, that it'll be a raging fire consuming everything, Lord. We just thank you and praise you, Lord. We give you praise for your love, for your grace, Lord, for your word, for your servants, Father, for this little fellowship, Father. Just take control of all things, Father. Thank you for the testimony of Coralie, Father, for blessing her, Father. Just have your way this week, Lord God, and minister to the needs of your children, Father. Touch each and every one of them, Father. Minister to them. Take them safely home, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you have another song? Yeah. Rejoice and look what the Lord has done. Praise the Lord.
Rejoice. Look what the Lord has done. He drove away the darkness at the rising of the sun. Rejoice, look where he's brought us from. Just stop and think about it. Look what the Lord has done. The enemy is always trying to keep us defeated. He always seems to point everything that's going wrong. But if we only keep our eyes on the message he supplied, the joy begins to swell up, singing a brand new song. Rejoice. Look what the Lord has done. Drove away the darkness at the rising of the sun. Rejoice, look where he's brought us from. Just stop and think about it. Look what the Lord has done.
Rejoice again.
Rejoice.